before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office. His lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zacharias said unto the angel, "Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years." And the angel answering said unto him, "I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not able to speak, until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season." The base of our thinking coming from 18 and 20. And Zacharias said unto the angel, "Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season." Supporting scripture, John 1 and 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." On the basis of those verses this morning, we like to use a theme or subject: the consequences of questioning the Word of God. The consequences of questioning the Word of God. One of us could be dead and gone. But right now, hallelujah, Jesus, the blood is yet running warm in our veins. Right now, the mercies and the graces of God have been bestowed upon all of us. For the Bible declares that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But David said that this is the day. I didn't make it. You didn't make it. Man didn't make it. But this is the day that the Lord has made. Now, David went on to say, and we, meaning many of us, will rejoice and be glad in it. In the midst of gladness, there's grief, trials, tribulations, heartaches, pains. Some of us are broke. But even in the midst of that, God is still good. Isn't it a wonderful thing this morning to know that your strength doesn't come from the money you got in your pocket? Your joy doesn't come from the thing that you've done for yourself. Hallelujah, Jesus. If you don't have anything else, you can have Jesus. Hallelujah. If we love God and do what God say do, there's a blessing in store for you. But God allowed me to come this morning to let you know that there are going to be some consequences for those of us that question the word of God. What word? All of the word. Not the pieces that you picked out that fit your lifestyle. You know how we sort of scan through and we get a certain amount of scriptures to back up our stand on what we're going to say or what we're going to do. And sometimes we're looking here and we'll find places that would justify us to be like we are. But I have not found in this word of God where God said to mistreat one another. I even found in the word of God that he said, love your enemy. So why get all bent out of shape because there's some folk that don't care much about you? First of all, understand who you belong to. Then have mind enough and sense enough to know that you were made from the dust of the ground. Form just however you are. If you're skinny, you're fat, you're tall, you're short, whatever you are what God made you. And you got to come to a place in your life to where you don't begin to think that what somebody else think of you will make you be who you need to be. Question might be, what do you think of yourself? When I think about the consequences of questioning the word of God, first of all, I know that it's only by the grace and the mercy of God that we have been allowed another opportunity to come together to worship and praise God. This place called Fowles Chapel, hear me now. It's a filling station. It's a healing place. It's a place of comfort. It is a place where you can find shelter from the storm. But also in this place, it is a place where God so ordained that his word be preached, that the songs of Zion be sang to the highest, that we walk in the light of God, knowing that if we allow him to lead and direct our very paths, our lives would be much better. I stood yesterday in this place and said just a few words just to sort of comfort myself and my family. But the difference in yesterday and today is that there's nobody laying there. Yesterday I didn't preach to the body. I preached to those that are yet still living. Today I'm here to preach to the living. Glad to be in the house one more time. Seemed like it was just yesterday that it was Thanksgiving. And here we are less than 20 days away from Christmas. Time is moving steadily. In this particular season, and I think I sort of went over that the other week, and the mere fact that every day ought to be a day of thanksgiving. Even when tragedy strikes, we have to learn how to look for the good in the tragedy. When we're happy, when things are going well, and when we just are going about our everyday lives, we are not conscious of the fact of what is going to happen the next minute. But whatever happens, good or bad, right or wrong, we're going to have to contend with it. So now when we look at the tragedies of life, it will make us begin to question, Lord, why? There are some things that we will never, ever understand. And then there are some things that we will understand better, as the old folks said, by and by. Some of us are already in the by and by. Some of us have a mindset that we already know everything. Nobody can't tell us anything. When we look at our youth of today, their mindset is so strong and it's hard to sort of penetrate and to get on the inside. But I find this morning that young or old, all of us, we something to deal with. As good as God has been to us, we are never satisfied. God woke us up this morning, started us on another day's journey. We come to the house of God. And I wonder, after getting here, why did we come? Did we really come to praise God? Did we really come to tell God thank you? Did we just come just to be in the number? Or did we come to receive something from God? Here we are on the first Sunday of December 2009. The last time this year that we will break the bread of life together. When we consider all the things that are going on in the world today, the struggles that men and women endure from day to day, even those of us that may be doing what we call real bad. Ain't anybody in here doing bad? Ain't no need to lie to yourself. Ain't no need to worrying about what your neighbor think about it. You know if you're doing bad or not. Doing bad don't necessarily mean you're doing bad financially. You might be doing bad with your mouth or your mind. Anybody in here doing bad? I thought so. But this is the place that if you want to be able to do better, this is a place to get a good start. Reason why? Because if we listen to the word of God, if we do what God says do in the word, then things will work out. Emma said for the good. Amen. To those of us that love the Lord. Anybody in here love God? Well, I'm going to preach in a minute, but I just want to feel myself for a second. As bad as your life might be, as bad as it seems to you, the things that you're going through, understand that there are thousands of people that are in a worse condition than that you are in right now. So it would be good if you'd have a mind that whatever state you're in, Paul said, I've learned to be content. Now, if you're at your lowest point in life, if you are struggling and you just don't know how to make it, I'm not saying be content with being down. But what I'm saying is, don't get bent out of shape because you're down. Know that as long as you're living, there's hope that you don't have to stay down. As we remember this morning, exactly what Jesus did for us on Calvary. Let us think for a moment. Isaiah in the Old Testament. In the 53rd chapter, Isaiah wrote some words about Christ, the sufferings of Christ. Before Christ actually came on the scene in the flesh, the Bible says, who have believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He have no form, no comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we,
hid, as it were, our faces from him. The Bible says he was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he had borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And the Bible declared that with his stripes. Anybody sick in here? Anybody got problems in your body in here? Then Isaiah said that with his stripes we are healed. Now that you got your healing, Isaiah saw our mindsets. Isaiah says, all we like sheep, we've gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord have laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. This is what Jesus did for you. And I wanted to sort of go over that this morning because we still got some folk that don't understand Holy Communion. We still got some folk think that they can make themselves worthy to partake of the bread and the wine. But I come to let you know this morning that it's not about your self-efforts. I come to understand and to let you have an understanding this morning that if you know God to be your Savior, if you believe that Jesus hung on Calvary's hill, if you believe that he suffered, if you believe that everything that Isaiah printed down that happened to our Lord, then you ought to have a mind to partake of his body. You ought to have a mind to partake of his blood. Because where you are weak, God will make you strong. So don't walk away from your blessings. Oh, I can remember when I was younger and Dr. Best used to get so bent out of shape because when it was communion time, many would go for the door. But I can hear my pastor saying, hold it up! Don't let nobody else out. Some of us. Oh, I know Doc glad he gone. Because if somebody tell you to hold the door on some of y'all, some of you forget where you're at. Ain't no talking about laying down religion. You can't lay down what you ain't got. Jesus sacrificed his life for us. When we look here, John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John affirmed three vital truths about the Word. First of all, the Word was Christ. He existed in the very beginning. He was with God. He was face to face with God. And as his divine nature, he was indeed God of all creation. Christ was not created, but was God's agent in his creative work. The divine Christ became a man and dwelt temporarily amongst us. It's this time of year that we are reminded of his miraculous birth. Many there were and are even today that don't believe in the birth of Jesus the Christ. Many doubt the word of God, and because of the lack of knowledge, they tend to question God when it comes to things that may not make logical sense. We got some folk that don't have faith walk. They got a logic walk. And unless it makes sense in your mind, and then I can't conceive it. But how many of you know that if you're walking by faith, it don't necessarily have to make sense? How many of you know that when somebody says the Lord works in a mysterious way, mysterious means that I can't quite understand how he got to where he is, but he got from A to B, from C to D, and I don't know how he got there, but he did. How many of you know that Jesus is still a miracle worker? I come to help somebody understand this morning that there are some consequences to contend with when we question the word of God. Always what they say. Who is they? What did God say? I'm so tired of what they said. I sure wish I could meet they. They got more problems than anybody that I know of. They got more business than you got. They got everything that you want on dollar. They always got something to say. But what does God say? God say, be still and know that I am God. Consequences, penalties, are the results of following one's actions or your words. Some of us, we don't care what come out our mouth. But let me tell you something, there's going to be some consequences. And there's some things that you're going to come out your mouth that you can't get back. The Bible declared that every outer word that men shall speak, they're going to have to give it an account of. So there's going to come a time that you're going to have to face the music for the things that you have said out of your mouth. There's going to be a penalty for you questioning God and not having true faith in God. Questions challenge or doubt. Questions have problems or issues. And then when we question the word of God, the word of God, the means by which God makes himself known, declares his will unto us, and brings about his purposes. In Christ, his word became flesh. For in the beginning was the word. The word was with God. And the word was God. When I think about the word of God, I began to think about the fact that Isaiah said that there was going to be a savior. And the savior was going to die a crucial death on the cross. But I come by to let you know this morning that before Jesus came on the scene, there was a forerunner that prepared the way for the Lord. And his name is, we know, is John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist had parents that loved God. They were God-fearing people. They were upright. They kept the commandments. They did what was the right thing to do. They loved God with all of their hearts. But in all of their lives, God had not blessed them with an heir. Zacharias and Elizabeth. The Bible says that they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. So that lets us know that they were some good people. They had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. So in other words, they're old folk now. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense, and when he went into the temple of the Lord. So Zacharias had a very special place with God. Zacharias was a priest, and one of his jobs was to go in and to burn incense while the people of God, they were out on the outside praying and making supplications and talking to the Lord for the many different things that they needed. And while they were doing that, Zacharias is here burning incense. While he was there on this particular day, the Bible said, there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord. The angel was standing there at the right side of the altar of incense. Zechariah saw him and he was troubled and fear fell upon him. The angel said unto him, fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard. Thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Look here. Here is this man of God doing what he is supposed to be doing. In the midst of doing his job, an angel appears. Because this angel appears, Zacharias gets a little afraid. Think about it. If you're in a place and you were there all by yourself and all of a sudden a figure appears. And not only does this figure appear, but this figure began to speak to you. And as he spoke to Zacharias, he began to let him know that he was going to have a child. Well, the Bible said he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. He shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. He shall go up before him in the spirit of power. He shall be one that will always do what God would have him to do. But now let us focus on verse 18. The angel Zechariah said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? So in other words, Zechariah is questioning the word of God. Zechariah is having doubt about the word of God. The angel has forestated that you are going to have a child. This child is going to be full of the Holy Ghost, even from Elizabeth's womb, and everything is going to be all right. This is the word of God. But Zacharias, he questions the angel. Whereby shall I know this? Don't you know I'm an old man and my wife is well stricken in years? Sometimes when God talks to us, we got to learn how to just go on with the flow. We got to learn how to stop questioning and asking God why. For the angel answered and said unto him, I'm Gabriel that stand in the presence of God and I come to speak unto you on his behalf. I brought you some glad tidings and I came to tell you that because you did not believe what I had to say. Because you didn't hear what thus said the Lord thy God, you're going to be dumb and not be able to speak out of your mouth until Elizabeth have this child. In other words, even though you got the word of God have come to you, I got to let you know there's some consequences of asking God why. You don't ask God why because you got to know that when God says something, God will always keep his promise. And I come to tell you this morning that if you know the power of the Almighty God, that God will make a way out of no way. God is the one that will do anything that needs to be done in your life. But you got to learn how to have faith in God. You can't look at your circumstances or the situation and weigh it up and say that it's not going to happen. Even though they might have been old in age, they got to remember where the message came from. When God tell you that something is going to happen, you can stand on God's word. I thank God that he never told us a lie in his life. If God said, I'll be right there by your side, God is going to be right there. But we see that when we look at Zacharias came out of the temple. Zacharias wasn't able to open up his mouth and speak a word. He began to walk around and make remarks and began to motion things out. And they began to wonder, why have you been on the inside so long? You're looking mighty strange when you come on the outside. I think something happened on the inside. You must have saw a vision or something. Don't you know when you've had a touch by the mighty God, hand of God, somebody going to see some sign in your life. When you've been touched by God, God will make a way out of no way. Zechariah began to walk around and act like everything was going to be all right. But what if you could talk today, but tonight you can't say a mumbling word? Day by day, they began to wonder what is wrong with Zechariah. The Bible says about 5 months, Elizabeth went and hid herself. Elizabeth didn't want nobody to see her in that condition. But I thank God for being God all by himself. For God came in and visited Elizabeth just like he said. The Bible said that whenever Elizabeth had the baby, she began to talk about naming the baby. There was always somebody in the midst that always going to tell you what to name your baby. But I come to tell you this morning that you better hear what thus said the Lord. The Lord and the angel and the voice of the angel. That when the baby is born, name the baby John. But I hear that some of the neighbors are talking. They say, ain't nobody in your family named John. There are no Johns in Zacharias' family. And I want to know, why do you want to name the child John? They were praising God because of the birth of the child. But when they went over and we said, we got to ask Zacharias. Said, we're going to ask him, what do you want to name your child? Because every man wanted to have an heir. Every man wanted to have a little Willie Jr. Every man wanted to have somebody to take off on their name. But I come to tell you this morning that Zacharias couldn't do that. Zacharias did not have that pleasure. He had to name that child what God said. But I want to let you know, when they began to ask Zacharias, what do you want us to name the baby? Zacharias still couldn't talk at that time. He said, bring me a table so I can write it down. When they brought him the table, he wrote down the child's name is John. Immediately when he wrote down John, that began to let God know that he had faith in my word. He did exactly what I said, dude. I told him to name the child John, and he has named this child John. All of a sudden, his tongue got loose, and he began to praise God. Think about it for a moment. If you hadn't talked for about 5 or 6 months, and the Lord came and touched your tongue and loosed your tongue, would you not tell God thank you? If God done anything for anybody in here, you ought to tell God thank you. I stopped by the house chapel to say there's some consequences when you question the word of God. But when God said go, you ought to go. When God said do, you ought to do. When God said be still, be still. When God said lift up holy hands, lift them up. Somebody ought to praise him. Somebody ought to tell God thank you. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that the Lord has done, I can't help but praise my God. I thank God this morning for making a way out of no way. Anybody in the house, do you know that this is the day of the Lord? And as we partake of the bread of God, don't you know if we hear the word of God, the Bible says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God was raised from the dead, that thou shalt be saved. Anybody want salvation? Anybody want the joy to come from God? Somebody ought to say, yeah, in the power of the Lord our God. There are consequences. There are some things you're going to have to go through when you question the word of God. But the word of God is going to stand. People come and people go. Things come and things go. But God is always going to be there. The word of God will always stand. And there are consequences to those of us that question and doubt the word of God. The word of God will find you wherever you are. Hallelujah, Jesus. And what the word does, it does not condemn you, but it gives you an invitation. It says, come. Come unto me. But it gives you an invitation. It says, come.